this morning to Psalm 133. We'll get there in a few moments in our notes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. We thank you that your presence is here and that you're moving in our lives. We thank you that you're restoring us, Lord. You said in Psalm 23:6, he restoreth my soul. And so we thank you, Lord, as we leave church today, our souls are being restored. Lord, what a great promise. It's our spirit that's perfect, Lord, but our soul sometimes gets out of whack by the anxieties and the cares of this life, by the rough waters in the world, Lord. And we thank you that our souls are being restored and mended today in your presence. Open our eyes and our ears to perceive that which you want to say to us, Lord, and speak a word to our hearts that will liberate, that will illuminate, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been on a series the last several weeks about faith. And, you know, I can't say enough about faith. Amen. The Lord quickened us for the new year that he wants us to do two things regarding faith. He wants us to grow our faith and exercise our faith, right? So we're going to continue on that theme next week, but this week I have a different twist. And let me say this about faith. Abraham is the father of faith. And you know, when you read that story in Genesis, the life of Abraham, it's easy to just kind of skim over it and say, oh, that's an elderly guy that kind of had a late in life child. No, it's not as boring as that. When you really look at the fine print, amen, and when you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate those words as you read them slowly, okay, in Genesis, and let them sink in, you'll realize here's a guy who was climbing mountains at 118 years of age. Who does that? God told him, take your son, your only son, to a mountain, I'll show you. And he is 118 by that point. All right? That's a brave man. Brave man. Praise the Lord. So we're going to say more about Abraham in the coming weeks, our father of our faith. But today we're going to talk about something a little different, just kind of a different shift in gear. I want to talk to you about worship. Worship. Yes, amen. And Sister Rose was right on with the word the Lord gave her about throwing off the heaviness by a garment of praise and worshiping the Lord. That's right in theme with what the Holy Spirit was wanting to say today. And you know, I want to start by asking this question. What is worship? This is a rhetorical question, so you can answer it in your heart. What is worship? Well, worship is easy to comprehend when we break down the word into two places. Worship, think of it like this, worth, W-O-R-T-H, worth-ship. Worth-ship is showing God's worth. It's not hard, right? It's showing God's worth. In other words, it's an expression to him that shows him honor for who he is. Amen? This is what worship is in a real simple definition. And, you know, there's an element in our society today that seems to be lacking in the area of dignity. Have you noticed? You could be in a grocery store and people sometimes can be just totally undignified. You'd be walking down an aisle and someone just, you know, just almost walk right in front of you. Just no concern for another person's space. There seems to be a lack in today's society of dignity. Honor. Amen. I'm not talking about someone kissing your feet, but just being polite. Yes. Amen. Someone who's in the service industry should know how to handle people. And many times you call and you don't get good service. Why? Because people don't honor each other. People don't respect people. You know, one of the greatest things you can do to be a witness for Jesus in the public is to look someone in the eyes. I'll do that many times. I don't go in the grocery store that much, but when I go out in public and different stores and things, if someone's kind of walking down the aisle toward me or you were about to collide or whatever, you know, I'll give them the dignity of eye contact. Why? Because it shows worth. Yeah. And in our fast-paced world, our frenzied world, and our crazy, crazy upside-down world at times, people just don't stop and respect people. Mm-hmm. But we as believers should be that way. Amen. Amen. We should give the space, the patience. Amen. Light turns green. You don't have to get on your horn the minute it turns green. Now that's another way you can show the love of Jesus right there. Be different. Or you can be like everybody else. We spent a year in Chicago years ago, and they were a little quicker paced up there than we were down here in slow paced Houston, comparatively so. It took me a while. Like the light turned green, you know, like whoa, oh, there's somebody back there. You know, I mean, they're ready to go. And you know, sometimes when the light turns green and someone's right there in front of you and they're out to lunch or they're on their cell phone, now I know you have the right to toot your horn, But how about as a child of God, you count to three, maybe just three at least, right? One, two, three. Before you lightly tap, bam, bam, right? not the freight train horn. There's a different kind of horn tap, right? My wife informs me, you know, it's different. And but honor and worth is something that's lacking in our society. And we can give that to people. Folks, I'm telling you, this will make a difference. I love the movie, I think it was maybe Spartacus or Jesus of Nazareth, one of those. I think Jesus of Nazareth, actually, where Charlton Heston's being whipped, right? And Jesus is carpentering nearby. Do you remember the scene? He's being beaten down. He's about to get loaded up on a ship for slaves, Charlton Heston. Is it Ben-Hur?
Yeah, Ben-Hur.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take your word. So Ben-Hur, so he's getting ready to be loaded up on a ship, and this guy's just, you know, giving him a rough time. And Jesus stops by, and you just see this hand reach down, right?
Yep.
Give him a cup of water. Wow. Why? Because people don't care for people in this crazy world, right? Jesus did something different. And we're called to do something different. We're called to be people who understand worth, respect, amen? Because we learn it with our God, we should be able to turn it toward people. Because James the Apostle said, you know, how can you say you love God and you don't love humans? Well, the word worship in the Greek language, in the New Testament, everywhere you see worship, most of the places in the New Testament, it's translated into this word, proskuneo. Proskuneo. I hope I'm butchering that not too badly in Greek. Proskuneo. It's spelled P-R-O-S, pros, K-Y-N-E-O. Kaineo is what it looks like, but it's pronounced proskuneo. K-Y-N-E-O on that last part. Proskuneo. What does that mean? The first part of the word pros means toward. Toward, in the direction of. And the second part of that word, K-U-O-N, actually is the original Greek root. It means dog of all things. And the picture here is of a dog who turns toward his master's hand and licks it. Or in the Oriental times, in the biblical ancient times, people who would kiss the hand out of worship. You meet somebody, you know, you see somebody. Now and then people in society will do that. They kiss a lady's hand. You know, not much nowadays, but I mean, you see it every now and then, right? It's an ancient custom. Why? Because to kiss toward represents worship, reverence. Now, my dogs don't lick my hands that much. I don't like them licking my hands. But I got two different dogs, and they're very different personalities. One is a rescue dog. It's actually Terry's dog, Meg. And she, you know, you can just say, Meg, no. And she's just practically on her back, right? I worship you. I reverence your command, you know. The obedience is there. The other dog is grown old in her old age. She's a Pomeranian. She started off with a little bit of attitude. And, you know, the older she gets, she's more like an old grouchy cat. Right? So when we talk about the dog kissing the hand, I mean, we got two different experiences at my house. But the point is, it's about reverence. Proskuneo, worship is us showing God's worth. Amen. Kissing toward. So I want to pose the question, why is corporate worship so important for a believer? Why is it vital that we come to church to worship? Can I worship at home? Sure you can. And you should. You should do more at home than you do here on Sunday morning. Amen? That should fuel what you do here. Amen? What you do in your prayer closet, you ought to have a special certification in dance to the Lord in what you do in your prayer closet. I don't care if you do it here or not, but you can. You're free to. Amen? But you should be experienced with your feet, your hands, your eyes closed, your worship to God at home just as much, if not more, than what you do here. But when we come here, we have the advantage of what? Live music. Amen. Live music. What is that? That's multiplied anointing. Yeah. Amen. You got Ryan on bass. You got Natalie on guitar. You got Bill on trumpet back here. James on drums. Rachel singing. You got multiplied anointing carrying you into the presence of the Lord in corporate worship. Glory. Amen. You should ride with that. Yeah. Right? And you should leave church. There's nothing wrong with leaving church with an exhilarating experience in worship. Why? Because there's a multiplied anointing here. It's different than just tick, you know, hit and play on your iPhone and hearing some canned music. It's different. Why? Because each of these musicians, as they're responding to the Lord and responding to one another, there's an anointing that's just swirling here. It's multiplying here, and it's helping to lift you into the presence of God. So take advantage of it. Yes. Amen? Come to church. There's your ad for the day. You know, obviously God likes music. Revelation 14:2 says that in heaven there was 144,000 people around the throne harping on their harps. Happily harping their harps. These are those who were redeemed out of the great tribulation. I believe they're the Jews that will be saved during the time of the last years of earth before the kingdom comes. They're going to be saved. They're going to be redeemed out of the Antichrist's hand. They're going to have a new song they sing in heaven. And God likes harps. God likes music. Amen. So obviously it pleases him. By the way, when a band is up here leading in worship, there's a difference between what you encounter here in church and what you encounter if you're listening to secular radio or watching a concert in public and it's not just Christian or worship oriented. There's a difference. Because the focus here is the glory of God, not the glory of the musician. Amen. Worldly music to me, this is just my personal experience. When I listen to or I hear a song played by musicians who don't know Jesus, it sounds like death to me. Yes. It sounds like the song of death. Why? Because it's not focusing on God. Amen. It's not directed toward him who is eternal life. Amen. There's a life in the sound of worship that you don't get in worldly music. Worldly music carries a spirit of death. Why? Because it's all about the musician. It's about self-glorification. Who does that sound like? Devil. Satan. He's a dead spirit. He's a spirit who does not minister life at all. And so there's no life in his sound because it's all about self. But when you come into the house of God and you have anointed musicians that are here putting your focus toward the Lord, there's life in that. There's life in that for you. Amen. The scripture says in Revelation, there's a river that flows from the throne of God. And there's what happens on both sides of the river. The trees grow up and they're full of life. Their leaves are for the healing of the nations. I'm telling you, in the midst of worship, you can receive, you can drink from the rivers of life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another thing that happens when you come into a corporate worship surrounding is like faith. Like faith is surrounding you. In other words, we're all walking on this journey together as a church. Amen. You could be in a liturgical church if you want. You'll hear organ music and, you know, maybe a choir singing. It's just a little different. It feels a little different than what we do. We kind of rock out here. Sorry. And I don't apologize, but it's what we do. I mean, we really have we make a joyful noise. We follow the Psalms real close here. We got drums, tambourines, even sometimes dancing. Amen. But, you know, you could go to another church and experience something completely different. But it doesn't matter. You need to find a place where your heart is settled with like faith. Amen. When you're in like faith, then when you come into that atmosphere, listen, we all share this, triumphs and trials. Amen. Hey, we should sing a little louder this week because Bert made it through his medical thing, and Bert's with us. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, our shout should be a little stronger this week because we know our brother made it through a trial. Amen. This is corporate worship. Corporate worship is stimulated by and it's driven and fueled by our brothers and sisters on either side who have gone through similar trials this week. Amen. And or had similar testimonies and triumphs in their life. This is what fuels corporate worship. Ain't it great? Praise the Lord. It is a beautiful thing. Look, you're in Psalm 133, right? I had you there a while ago. Psalm 133. Look what Psalm 133 says. Beautiful promise. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon. When you go to Israel, they'll take you up in the north part of Israel. There's a Mount Hermon. There's a mountain up there, and it stays. There's snow on the mountain most of the year, I believe, in Mount Hermon. Like the dew of Hermon, as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord commands the blessing. Amen. The Lord commands the blessing in unity. So again, when you come into a church and you say, this is where God planted me. I'm happy to be here. I'm bringing my faith. Amen. I'm bringing my triumphs, my trials, all that is my life. I bring it here each week for corporate worship. Listen, it's the place where God commands the blessing. You should leave church blessed every week. Amen? Amen. If you're really plugging in worship, plug in your heart and bring all that you are to the table. Amen. Together. And what happens is God commands the blessing there. Amen. It's like dew falling on you. Mm-hmm. And you walk out of here. You can't explain it. You can't even put words to it. But you should be blessed every week when you leave church. You should be blessed. You should walk out just revitalized in your spirit. Why? Because it's like the dew falling on Mount Zion there, it says in Psalm 133. Why do we come together for worship? Because God commands it. And I'll just be real frank with you. Those who don't go to church, not you people. You people go to church. You wouldn't be here talking to me. I mean, I wouldn't be talking to you face-to-face if you weren't here. But I'm saying people out there who don't go to church. You ever meet somebody who says, oh, yeah, me and God have a thing going, but I don't go to church. They're in rebellion. They're in rebellion. Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Amen. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. Listen, the day's fast approaching, folks.
That's right.
Jesus is coming soon. He could come any moment. You realize how quick the technology could evolve toward a one world leader, economic system tied into computers and marks on the hand or marks on the forehead. It could happen so quick. Our technology's there. We're so close. And Jesus could come at any moment. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. I'm making it my goal this year to say it every day. Come, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Let it be the cry of my heart every day, every moment. Listen, worship is about Him. Worship is about God. That distinguishes it different from everything else in life. Why? Because everything else in life we do or connect with or participate in, for the most part, is centered about us. And this is why your flesh, your mind, your body revolt when you come to church, honestly. You got a battle on your hands. I'm being frank here. Your body doesn't want you to lift your hands. Your mind doesn't want you to close your eyes and focus on Jesus. It wants you to think about what you're going to cook for lunch or, you know, where you're going next week on your vacation. Your mind wants to roam when you come into a worship setting. But you got to rein that in. Amen. But David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. He said, I'm going to command my mind, my soul to go a certain direction. And that is to bless the Lord. Why? Because everything else in life is centered around us. But I'm telling you, God has a heart. God has a heart, you know. And when we give Him worship, Jesus said, the Father seeks those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He seeks you. He's looking for you. And when you don't give God your attention, when you don't give Him the honor that's due unto Him, He feels pain in His heart. Did you know it? One of the most tender verses, I just read it a couple days ago as I'm working my way through Genesis again this year, where it says, and God was grieved that He made man. I think it's one of the saddest verses in the Bible, right before the flood, right? You know, and it says there that God was grieved that He created man because of all the sin and the violence in the earth. God feels pain. Amen. And He feels it. This is both a good and bad thing. He feels it in a good way when you give Him your worship, and He feels pain. He feels lack when you don't. It matters to God when we worship Him. It matters. Look at Psalm. You're in Psalms, right?
Yes.
Flip over to Psalm 62. Psalm 62, 8. It's a beautiful verse. I like it in the King James Version there. Psalm 62, 8. David had a heart for worship, did he not?
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a guy. Yeah. He's a warrior. Shepherd, the runt of the litter, youngest of eight kids, right? And yet the thing that David's noted for is being a worshiper. Amen. More than a giant killer. I think it's his worshiping heart. Look at Psalm 62:8. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. I love that. You ought to underline that, highlight it. Pour out your heart. You know, when we come to worship, what is God looking for? He's looking for you to pour out your heart. Pour out your heart to Him. Trust in Him at all times. Amen. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is a refuge. You say, well, I can't really sing. It's okay. The Bible says, make a joyful noise. Psalm 98:4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice. The emphasis there is on what? Not the noise, but the joy.
Yeah.
Amen. It's on the expression coming from your heart. Have you ever wondered what God was thinking when He created cicada bugs? I mean, I don't know about you, but that noise is kind of annoying in the summer months, you know? And starts up again, right? I mean, God must hear something in that I don't hear. Because He designed it. Obviously, it makes some sort of pleasant sound in his ears. He designed it. Crickets, same way. I mean, it's just... Bullfrogs is a little lower pitch, but, you know, it's not much different. But there were certain sounds that God put in creation. Obviously, he likes them. God is looking for the sound of your heart when you come to church. And you may not be an excellent opera singer or, you know, have a great voice, but God is looking for the expression of your heart. Those of you that are parents, grandparents, you know, when that child, that grandchild comes around you, it doesn't matter what they say, they hung the moon regardless, right? And when they come and come into your presence just joyful and giddy and giggling and goofy, I mean, it's wonderful. And your Heavenly Father feels the same way about you. And there are times, there are moments when you need to stop and laugh or smile at the Father and from your heart express, thank you, God. Thank you for this, whatever it is, this blessing that you've given me in this moment. That's worship. Hey, that's worship. Express your heart to the Lord. He likes to see that. Praise the Lord. God hears your heart. Psalm 51. Are you there? Close by? Turn over to Psalm 51. Look at these words from David. This is right after David had been addressed by the prophet after he had committed adultery and murder. It was a terrible time in David's life. And he wrote Psalm 51 in response to his brokenness. Look what he said in Psalm 51, verse 17. He said these words, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite," not a broken microphone, "a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Amen. Amen. Jesus, heal the system. Praise the Lord. God says, David says here, by the Holy Spirit, he says, "The sacrifices of God are broken and contrite heart and spirit." Amen. I love that. You know, when you come to church, you don't have to have all your ducks in a row. Isn't it great that you can come in, your heart can be just, I mean, it could be shredded from the day. You could just have had a really, really horrible time in the world. Jesus said it. He said, in the world, you'll have what? Tribulation. Trouble. That means trouble. And you can come into a worship service and have had, just like I said, felt like you swam through a sea of mud to get here. But the sacrifices of God are broken and contrite heart. And you can just pour out your brokenness to the Lord. You can come just like you are. Amen. We don't want you to stay there. Amen. You should leave happy. You should leave with the Lord lifting that burden off your heart. But you can come broken. You can come crushed. That's what David's saying here. He said, "I'm crushed beneath the weight of my guilt, the weight of my sin." But he says, this is pleasing to the Lord when I pour out this expression of the brokenness of all that I'm feeling in my heart right now. He said, this is pleasing to God. This is like a sacrifice that he delights in. Amen. So don't hesitate. Listen, the time you should come to church the most is when you feel like coming the least. Just ask me. I'm a preacher. I don't have an option. But there are days I feel like staying home too. And I know that in that moment, I know that as I press through, there must be something good, something wonderful, something of the Spirit of God, something of the power of Jesus Christ in the presence of the saints that's going to happen that day. You couldn't keep me away for nothing. But I'm telling you, I'm human. I feel it just like you. I just don't feel like going to the house of God. I don't want to lift my hands. I don't want to sing no happy song. I just want to cry in my soup. Because I'm human too. But the Bible says, make a joyful noise. Amen. Pour out your heart to him. Amen. Pour out your sacrifice. Even if you feel broken. Even if you feel weak. Even if you feel failing and fallen. Let me say this else, something else about worship. While worship speaks from the heart. Worship involves your heart. That's what God's looking for. But worship also involves the body. It involves the body. What do I mean by that? Well, all through the Psalms, you'll see things like, oh, clap your hands, all you people. Yeah. Hey, listen, when there's triumph, people do what? They clap. Yeah. They didn't even think about it. A guy breaks loose for a 50-yard, 60-yard touchdown, breaks through the lines and gets away from the defensive guys. People go nuts. Ah! You know, they clap, they shout, they lift their hand. They do it naturally as a response. Listen, these are responses we're to bring to the house of God. Clap your hands. Raise our hands. Why do we raise our hands? It's a sign of surrender. It's a sign that says, I have surrendered to you. You're the only God. You're the Most High God, and I give you myself. Again, worship is giving yourself to God again. Amen. Every time you come into a worship service, listen, I want to adjure you, as I've been corrected myself, never enter a worship service and sing like a zombie. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Sometimes you walk in late to church, or you walk in the middle of a song service, you know, they've already sung number one and they're on song two and a half or whatever, and you walk in the middle of it and you're still kind of putting your coat down and your books and you're singing, you know, Jesus, I worship you with all my heart. Oh, look what he's wearing over there. And you're looking around, you're distracted, you're mouthing the words, you're singing like a zombie, but you don't mean it. Stop it.
Yes.
Refuse to do that in a worship service.
Amen.
As I said earlier, there's a lack of dignity in our society. We got to get back to when we're worshiping, we're worshiping. You hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Don't do it. Just go ahead and be distracted, but don't start singing the song if you're not really into it. Get with it. Engage your brain. Make your brain say, be like David. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Yes.
I'm not here to see who wore what today, or you know, well, who's driving what, and you know, did they finally comb their hair from last week? You know, you're not thinking those thoughts. You're focused on Jesus. You're focused on Jesus. He says, shout for joy.
Yes.
Hey, it's okay every now and then in a service to shout. Let out a hoot and a holler.
Yes.
We're good at that here in the South. We do that,
amen,
right?
Amen.
So you do it at football games. Don't look at me that way. You do it. And when your team's winning or whatever, do it in church.
Yes.
There's no better reason to hoot and holler than Jesus.
Yes.
Has saved you. Amen. Yeah. Jesus has raised you up. If he just got you through last week, amen, that's worth hollering about.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Listen, 2 Samuel 24:24, David said, I will not offer to God that which cost me nothing.
Wow.
The plague was falling on Israel. People were dying by the thousands. And God told David, go up to the threshing floor of Araunah, I think is how you say his name, or something like that, Araunah. And he said, buy his threshing floor and offer a sacrifice there, and I will stay the plague. So he got there, and the guy said, oh, it's the king. Whoa, you can have whatever you want. People were like that in those days, right? They understood honor. And he offered the threshing floor for free. Here, take it, king. You know, he's just giving it to him. This is yours. Take it. David said, no, I'll not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Powerful statement. It's costly to worship. Amen. It costs your attention, your focus. It means you push everything aside for the moment and you say, you alone, Jesus. You know, there's a lady named Mary in the Bible who did that. Mary, Jesus said of Mary, I think it's Luke 10, I don't know, it's in my notes somewhere, I wrote it somewhere. Luke 10:42, he said, Mary has chosen the better part and it will not be taken from her. Do you know what the best thing in life you can do? Sit at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Worship
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
Listen to his words of life and hear what he has to say to you.
Oh, yeah.
People just won't slow down, will they? I mean, we got everything in the world distracting us nowadays. I mean, we're just like, it's like hooked up intravenously with this world and everything is tugging at you. But to unplug,
yes,
and fall at the feet of Jesus in your prayer closet, in your living room, in that quiet place, and say, Jesus, these moments are just for you. I'm going to have a moment here with you, Jesus, and to pour out your heart to him and to worship him with all that you are. This is an amazing thing. This is what we're called to. Worship. Worship. He said, dance before the Lord. He said, laugh. Laughter can be an expression. You know, the Bible reprimanded, God reprimanded Israel in the Old Testament. He said, because you did not serve me with joy. Did you know that? It's a verse in the Bible. It's in Deuteronomy 28:7. He said, the curse is coming your way. Praise the Lord. This is good. He said, because you did not serve me with joy, the curse has come to you, Israel. Deuteronomy 28, the curse will come on you if you do not serve me with joy. Give me just a little more juice, guys. Just the Bible puts an emphasis, and in Psalm 100, verse 2, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. You can serve the Lord with your smile. Did you know that? Yeah. You can choose to put on a good attitude, and that is a form of worship.
Amen.
And that's relating to your private life, all right? Let me mention one more thing that you can do in the house of God when we come together for worship that's outward, that involves your body. Kneeling before the Lord. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Have you ever knelt in a public worship service before? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you've never tried that before. Maybe you have bad knees. Well, you can kind of sit funny in your chair. Do it however you have to do it. But listen, kneeling is an expression of worship.
Years ago, the Lord got me over the fear of man in regards to kneeling in public. I just got over it. Now, if you were raised Catholic, you're used to this, right? The Catholics are really, really good about one thing that they really, really have a handle on is reverence. Yes. They kneel before the Lord. I love it. They even got kneeling boards in their churches, right? You know, and it teaches people what? When you bend the knee, what does the knee represent? Listen, this is a deciding point. You know, your knee tells you which way to go. If we didn't have knees, we'd be kind of all walking one direction. We'd be kind of stiff, wouldn't we? But your knee actually directs you. And so when you bow the knee, it's like saying, I'm directing myself to worship. And the leg represents strength. The Bible makes that clear, too, that our legs represent that the anatomy, the way God designed our human bodies. So when you bend the knee, when you kneel in the Lord's presence, you're saying, Lord, you are my strength. I give all my strength to you. There are times in the house of God, there are times when I sense the angels just beautifully surrounding our worship. And I feel like, man, if I don't kneel, I'm like showing irreverence for the angels being here. Not that I don't worship the angels, but I feel them looking on. I feel their presence in the worship setting. And I feel like, man, if I don't kneel right now, I'm showing irreverence for the presence of God and for the fact that he's brought his angels here in this moment in worship. So if you've never tried, I want to encourage you in the days ahead as we ponder the subject of worship, kneel before the Lord. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. And just, it helps you push out. Listen, if you can kneel publicly, you could do anything publicly and dance before the Lord too. I mean, because it puts the fear of man all behind you, all behind you. And it's liberating. Amen. It's liberating to get past the fear of man. It's liberating to be able to say, I don't care what anybody else around me thinks. I'm going to pour out my heart to Jesus. That's worship. That's worship. Let me say this too, as I wind things down. That's my first wind down. Worship is a journey. Worship is a transcendent journey. It's a progression. One lady said years ago, I don't know her name, but we heard of her book. I never read the book, but I heard this quote from the book. It was really good. It said, we praise until the worship comes. We worship until the glory comes, and then we stand in the glory. I'll say that again. We praise. What is praise? Praise is declaring the works of God. What has he done for you? Giving thanks, right? We usually start a worship service with songs that are a little more upbeat. Sometimes we start with a little faster song, kind of get the flow going for the moment, get your blood pumping, so to say. But we usually start off with songs that focus on what God has done for me. Me, me, me. You know, remember I said we got to get out of that me cycle, right, to get into worship. But songs that talk about what God has done for us, that's praise. And then all of a sudden we move into a new gear and we sing songs about, well, why did he do that for you? Because he loves you. Isn't he amazing? And all of a sudden our shift and our focus starts turning toward, he loves us this way. He did all this for me because he's awesome. And then worship begins to rise in our hearts. We move from an attitude of praise for what he's done to worship for who he is. And then what happens? Well, where there's a sacrifice of worship, God's presence will come. In the Old Testament, they would say fire would fall, right? Remember when Elijah was there on Mount Carmel and he sacrificed? Remember, he sacrificed the animals. And then what happened? The flamethrower from heaven, right? God fell on the sacrifice. In Solomon's day, when Solomon sacrificed, when they built this amazing temple, this palatial temple unto the Lord and to honor him, a place for God's people to come in worship. And what happened when they offered all those sacrifices? The mighty flamethrower again. The fire fell from heaven. Listen, where there's a sacrifice of true worship, sincere worship, the fire of God will fall. That's what we call the glory. And that's what that lady meant when she said, when we get to the place of worship, worship will lead us to the place where we just stand in the glory. We worship until the glory comes, and then we stand in the glory. What do we mean by that? Habakkuk 2:20 says, let all the earth keep silent before him. Now, that's not for all times. There's a time to sing. There's a time to shout. There's a time to make a joyful noise, as I said. But then there comes a moment in which we are just in the presence of God, and we feel the manifestation of his glory. We feel that weightiness. What is glory? The original root word has to do with a sense of weightiness. That which has glory has weight. And when we begin to feel, actually literally sense in our spirits within us, I can't explain it, but we sense the weightiness of God in the room. That's the glory. And we get to that moment, and then all we want to do is just stand and savor the glory. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Again, it's not always about being still, but there comes a moment in worship in which we're just still. We're just still. Amen. These kind of encounters with the glory, what I'm talking about this morning, these are life altering. Terry and I have talked often about, you know, what is it that we've seen over and over again in people's lives? You see people who raise kids in a Christian home, raise kids, their kids go to a Christian school. They're in church every, you know, two or three times a week, and they grow up and become little hellions. What happened? Somewhere along the way, they missed the presence of God. Listen, you keep a child in the presence of God, they can't do anything else but serve Jesus. Why? Because in the presence, all distractions, all these things that pull at our flesh, they melt away. The hills melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Every stronghold melts in the presence of the Lord. You keep a child in the presence of God all his days, especially those rough teenage years, he will walk the right path. Amen. You know, kids going to church is one thing, but kids being in the presence is another. In the presence. This is our destiny as a church. We're committed to it. We're committed to the presence. There may be days in our future where I don't ever get to a sermon. Why? Because the presence. Because the fire fell. Because the glory is so weighty in the room, we can't but be still before him and absorb into our spirits what he wants to say to us personally and in every unique way. It's the presence of God. You know, they say when you're in reference to raising kids that, you know, people say, well, I spend quality time with my kids. Right? You heard people say that. But the truth is, and this is a truism too, that quality time comes in the midst of quantity of time. And so, you know, your flesh may get a little irritated sometimes if the worship service goes a little long. But we've learned this, that out of quantity of time in the Lord's presence comes quality of time. You don't rush into the Lord's presence and say, God, I want you. I got to go. That doesn't work. You give him quantity of time, and out of that quantity of time comes quality experience. That's what Mary learned. Obviously, she sat there long, long, long into the, you know, Martha's in the kitchen just walking back and forth, pacing, fuming, right? Pots banging. You know how people get when they're more and more upset that you're not helping them in the kitchen? The pots get louder, right? Some of you wives know what I'm talking about. And Mary's just sitting there. She's just sitting there listening, dazed at this man from Galilee who is more than a man. It's the Son of God, creator of all, the Word made flesh. And she's listening. She's captivated. Everything else has fallen by the wayside. This is why when you fast, Jesus said, because Jesus did say when you fast, didn't he? Right? So make that part of your life. He didn't say if you fast. This is for every believer. Hello. I know we're getting close to lunch. It's not a good subject to bring up right now, but Jesus said, when you fast, what happens when you fast? You push aside all the cares of life. Listen, if you can push food away for the moment, you've pushed everything away. Really, you really have. Because your body screams. Your body screams for its needs to be met. And obviously, Mary sat there at the feet of Jesus. She had probably pushed away even her appetite by that point. Martha speaks up, Master, don't you care? And Jesus said, she's chosen the best part. It will not be taken from her. There are times when I get up in the morning and there's so much tugging at me. I mean, we've got a routine at my house. I'm sure you do it yours too. Got to let the dogs out, open the blinds, you know, do this, do that. And it's just, you know, it's a whole orchestra of things that happens to start your day. But listen, if you can pause and before all that chaos starts just pulling at you left and right and give him the moment. I like to just hit the floor when I get out of bed. I like to just go to my knees first thing. Why? Because the world's pulling at us every different direction. Why not give him worship first? Why not give him the first moment, the minute we start our day? That's worship. That's what Mary gave Jesus. Quantity of time. And out of that quantity of time comes quality experience. Well, as I said, this is our destiny. And there's so much more to say about worship. I want to just end by saying this. Why did Jesus suffer on the cross? Why did Jesus suffer for our sins? Look at one of the most significant things that happened on the day of his crucifixion. What was it? The veil was torn from top to bottom. God said, come on in. I've been waiting. Amen. I've been waiting for the blood of the Lamb to take away your sins so we could be one again. We could have communion. The Bible says in Ephesians, we are brought near by that blood. You may not feel it. You may come into church feeling, man, I've just got so much on my plate this week. I feel like a dirty, rotten sinner. It doesn't matter. The word tells you this. The blood has brought you near. You're brought near by the blood. His blood has cleansed you. Why? Because God wants to meet with you. God cares about you. Well, that's hung up on there. God cares about you. He wants to hear your heart. Stand together with me. You don't have to be musical when you come to church to participate in worship. Worship's about your heart. You know, many times I go into a service, especially at a new place, if I don't know the songs, I don't try to catch up with all the lyrics that I can't learn in one service anyways, right? You know, they got the words shining up there. And if I don't know them, I'll sing in the spirit while they're singing their words in English. Or, you know what I'm saying? There'll be times when I don't feel to sing in English. I just feel to pause, or I'll let the congregation around me sing. And as they're singing, I'm listening to the words, but I'm from my heart. I'm drawing near to God. That's worship. That's worship. I want to encourage you to do that. Don't just fall into a rhythm. Don't just fall into a track of, you know, okay, I'm going to go there. And you'd have no meaning. Lift your heart to the Lord. That's what he's looking for. It's your expression from your heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads just one moment? You know, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm really not even born again. I need to give my heart to Jesus today. You talked about giving your heart in worship, and I've never really given Jesus my whole heart. I've never surrendered to him as my Lord, as my Savior. If that's you today and you say, I need to give him my heart. I don't take for granted that just because you're here in church that you're necessarily born again. I know there are people that are faithful to be in church, and there may come a day that you go, this is my day. It's my day to give Jesus my whole heart. So if that's you, would you just raise your hand real quick? Let me see. You say, I want to surrender to Jesus today. I want to give him my whole heart. I want to make him my Lord. I want to make him my Savior to save me from my sins. Anybody at all? You want to give Jesus your heart today? It's your first time. You say that, Pastor, it's my first time, but I want to give Jesus all my heart. I want to surrender to him as my Lord. Anybody at all? Just raise your hand real high. And we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're going to pray a prayer together to do that just today. And or if you say, Pastor, I've been away from Jesus. I've been away from fellowship with God. I kind of got drug in here today, but I feel that he's tugging at my heart. He wants me to surrender my life to him. You say, I want to surrender my life to Jesus today, or come back to Jesus today, I should say. Anybody at all? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, we thank you for your love. Thank you for sending Jesus to die in my place. His precious blood was shed in place of mine. Because the penalty for sin is death. He died for me. But he didn't end there. You raised him from the dead on the third day to bring life to me, to justify me, to cleanse me from all my sins. Wash me today, Father, in that precious blood. Cleanse my life. Make me your child. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, for doing it today. We thank you for new births. We thank you for restoration, Lord, of your people. We thank you that in your house, Lord, people flourish. They flourish in the courts of our God. And they will be like trees bearing fruit even in their old age, Lord. I thank you that you cause us to overflow with life in your presence and in your courts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to say this about worship, that, you know, it's kind of like that old saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. We feel like as Christians, I sometimes think about this. I don't know if you project out from here in your mind. You think, wonder what if Jesus doesn't come before then, wonder what life will be like 200 years from now here in America. Wonder if they'll look back on this time and they'll go, boy, those were the dark ages in the church compared to now. You know what I'm saying? Dark compared to what the light they'll be walking in. You know, we do a great job here every Sunday. We come into the Lord's presence. We lift our songs. We lift our music. We lift the worship. But I think there's going to come a day that people might look back and say, man, we just had no clue then compared to now. Yeah. And what I mean by that is you ain't seen nothing yet. Yeah. There's coming worship in the house of God that's just going to be so, so deep. We haven't scratched the surface. I mean, we're getting there, you know, scrapes and claws, I think, compared to where how far God wants us to be. But just keep pressing in. Amen. We're going to keep pressing in as a church, as a people. I want to encourage you in your home. Listen, when you got time to kill, turn on some good worship music. You'd be amazed how it lifts your spirit, how it tenderizes your heart before God and keeps you in alignment. Worship will help keep you in alignment with the Father. Amen. Keep that music surrounding your life. Keep a song in your home. Listen, you want to break the enemy's hold in your home and in your family life. Sing a new song to the Lord. Worship the Lord. Lift up praise and worship. Put some good worship music on. Not just any old music. Let it be centered on Jesus. Lift your own song to the Lord, as we were encouraged today in this word that we heard. Put on the garment of praise for any spirit of heaviness that tries to come on you. Lift the song of worship. God loves to hear it. And what happens when he hears true worship? The fire falls. Hey, the enemy can't stand when the fire falls. Amen. He's nowhere to be found. You want to rout the enemy out of your life? Lift up a song of worship to the Lord. And the fire will fall. The glory will come into your life like never before. Praise the Lord. Well, I bless you in Jesus' name. Have a great week in the Lord. We'll see you. Remember LPs tonight. Guys, if you're ready, Brother Bobby's going to be at the door with his sign up sheet. He's got a fancy clipboard and a pen. Don't tell it. Take his pen. But he's going to sign you up for the men's advance. So make sure on your way out, you give him your name and number. Let him know you're coming. Praise the Lord. Even if you don't have payment today, just sign up.